Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, are you still burying your head in the sand about switching? Have you heard about the new central bank lending rules, but you don't know how they impact you? Or you might be looking ahead to the winter bills, aren't we all, and worrying about how to balance your budget? Well, personal finance expert Owen McGee is here. You can still get your questions in. 51551 is the text number. Now, those first-time buyer rules that have changed, the lending rules, Owen, are they likely to affect many people? What are you hearing about it on the ground?
Yeah, they absolutely will affect people, because what's happened is, it's interesting that these rules have come into some criticism. Some people are delighted to see them. I put a poll up when the central bank were looking for guidance and wanted input, and the poll was very much, can you push up the rules? Can you make it easier for us to borrow money? And obviously that's first time buyers, and that's what they're looking to do. But the rules, for people don't know, it used to be a case, if you were a first time buyer, you needed a 10% deposit and you could borrow 3.5 times your salary. So if you're on two couples, 50 grand each, or 100 grand in the household, just to keep the math simple for me, 350,000 euros. From January 1st, you'll be able to borrow 400,000 euros, 4 times your combined salary, or four, if you're a single applicant, 4 times your own salary. You'll still need your 10%, and that's fine. Big change for second time buyers. So if you've already owned a home and you've come true, you used to have to come up with a 20% deposit, and now you need a 10% deposit. And that's a big change. One of the other things that it's given a nod towards, which is different, is in the first home scheme, which is a shared equity scheme that was introduced earlier on in the year, they've started to recognise people who have fallen out of a relationship or previously had a home and for some reason went through bankruptcy or divorce and they no longer have any interest in that previous home. They will now be treated as first time buyers, or it looks like there's some suggestion that they're going to be treated differently than just that blank, you're a second time buyer.
That'll make a big difference
to
a lot of people.
Yes, it will make a big difference for people.
Now, will we go to Paddy first? Paddy's problem. Can you ask Owen McGee to settle a bet between my wife and myself? Oh, I like this already, Paddy. I think having a number of saving accounts and or vaults is a good way to save smallish amounts going into each of those accounts. My wife thinks we should have one current account and one savings account. Who is right? Be careful now.
I will be careful. But first, the question, like, I'm all about the money, Claire. And if there's a bet here, I want to know what my cut is, right? And I need to know which side Paddy's on, if he's the one agreeing to it. No, what I would say is, first of all, it's down to each individual couple. But there is some science behind, I'm assuming Paddy's on the, he said he's on the side of lots of different spaces, right?
He is.
So what I would say is there is some science behind it. And I'm always about trying to create an emotional attachment between you and your savings. If you have a rainy day fund and you have a bad day, you look at the rainy day fund and say, oh, I'll dip into my rainy day fund and I'll go out for dinner or whatever it is that you want to do to treat yourself, right? If you have a fund and you're going, oh, I've had a bad day, I think I'll dip into Johnny's college fund. It's less likely you're going to dip into Johnny's college fund because you've had a bad day. So creating that emotional attachment, and your Paddy's wife might be able to do it herself with one big pot, but it's much easier when they're divided up into different pots. And you can see
that's sense.
Johnny's college fund. That's our weekend away next August. That's Christmas.
That's our car insurance fund.
Exactly.
And it's harder to take money
once,
from it.
Once you create an emotional attachment, you've better chance of succeeding. Mm-hmm. So you can just send the money over, Revolut or N26 or whatever you want, Paddy, thanks.
So Paddy, you're right. You're right, Paddy. You've won the bet, whatever the wager was. This person sold a house 3 years ago. I still have 100,000, they say, sitting in my bank since then. Nice position to be in. I'd like some suggestions on where to invest some or all of this. I also have a rainy day fund.
Okay, so the rainy day fund, or the buffer, as I'd like to call it, is the most important thing. That's where you have, ideally you have 3 months take home pay, or if your income is kind of up and down, like say you're self-employed working for yourself, your income's up and down, 6 months take home pay that you can access if and when life happens. Mm-hmm. If this person has their buffer covered off already and they're looking at the longer term, the next question they need to ask themselves, of that 100,000 euros, how much of it am I going to need in the next 5 years? And whatever I need in the next 5 years, whether it's to change the car or to do something else, that's bank account, credit union, on post. You just have to put up with the awful interest rates we're going to get at the moment. When you go beyond 5 years, now you're starting to think about turning up the risk a little bit, and people get scared with this, but turning up the risk a little bit, investing it, buying thousands and thousands, tiny bits of thousands and thousands of companies, big companies buying tiny bits of shares in each of these companies in order to get a return that beats inflation after charges. And that's what you're trying to do. And in a very simple explanation, let's take 10,000 euros. If you put 10,000 euros into a bank account today and ignore tax and let me just do simple interest, if you put 10,000 euros in the bank account today and you manage to get half 1%, 1% interest, and it's going to grow to around 10,250 euros over the next 5 years, right? Simple interest terms. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to buy something today for 10,000 euros, and inflation was only at 2%, which is the long-term growth rate expected, right? It'll be the thing that you want to buy for 10,000 euros today is going to cost 11,000 euros in 5 years' time in simple interest terms. And what I would say is people look at the bank account going from 10 to 10,250 and they say, I didn't lose any money, but you lost 750 euros of your purchasing power. So by leaving it in a bank account longer than 5 years for a long period of time, you are guaranteed to lose money. And what I would say to that person is get yourself a little bit of advice to decide what other opportunities are available to me, where can I put it? And one thing I didn't touch on there is if you're looking at long term, there's no better place than sticking into the pension if that's an option for you.
Okay. And this one is from a couple who have been putting our two girls' children's allowance payments into a college fund since they were born. That's a great position to be in, and not many can do it. Our eldest has just turned 18, so we've stopped getting payments for her. She has another year before she'll go to college, but we're not in a position to continue with the payments ourselves into the fund. So we've frozen that. And they want to know, should we keep the money in that fund until next year, or would it be safer to move it to a credit union account or elsewhere?
Okay, so this person has done the right thing. It doesn't look like they used a bank account. You should not use a bank account, credit union, or on post when it's more than 5 years. If they've been saving the child benefit, I'd say they had a long-term kind of 18-year plan here from the time that the child was born to put this money away, and they've been using a college fund. I would be absolutely shocked and horrified if over a long period of time, kind of 18 years, that when it got invested, they aren't dramatically up right now in terms of what they put it in and what it's worth, how much they put in and what it's worth today. So they have got a little bit of leeway here to be able to take a chance and say, leave it there. Remember, college starts in 1 year's time, but the fourth year of college doesn't start for 5 years' time. Mm-hmm. So they're not all of that money is going to be needed in the next 5 years. So you need to start playing a game here about, okay, when am I going to be having to tip into it? If they leave it alone in the fund it's in, first of all, let's say they're already up, okay, if it was invested right in the first place. And if we've invested in a conservative way, there's a 75% chance that they're going to make money on it in the next 12 months. Okay, so they have a little bit of a kind of a buffer zone there in terms of how much they put in and what it's worth. And also the stats, depending on how it's invested, the stats would suggest there's a good chance that in any year, that's where I'm getting the 75%, in any year, an investment set up right goes up 3 years out of four.
So it could be self-sustaining.
It could be self-sustaining. And what I would say is if you're nervous about it, if you're losing sleep over it, there's nothing more valuable than sleep. So money gets trumped by that. Finances get trumped by that. Take out next year's money now and put it to one side. But you don't have to make the same move across all of the money.
Okay. Let's go to Geraldine, who's 57, works in the public service. She says, I have a small pension. I'm in good health, but I've no medical insurance. I expect to work for another 10 years, so until she's 67. What's the number one priority for me, do you think?
Okay, the fact that she mentioned the medical insurance in her text would suggest to me that that's something that's kind of playing on her mind. I would ask her to address that first if it is playing on her mind. If it's not, and I would say personal choice if you want medical insurance or not. But to put that to one side, you're 57 years of age. If you walk away from your job because of illness or injury right now, you will be able to access pension. And from 60 years of age, and you're coming up, you're planning on working for the next 10 years, the priority for you right now is pension. And let me just explain why. People are often put off by the idea of pension because you're 35 years of age and you're going, oh, I have another 30 years before I'm going to see this money. This person is 57 years of age and there's no kind of excuse for not doing it. Mm-hmm. And people will say, oh, but pensions, and there's risk involved, and is it the right thing to do? Let's forget what the pension's going to do for that person in retirement. Think about what it's going to do today. If you want to pay more tax this year than you have to, then don't put any money into your pension. If you want to pay less tax than you have to, put some money into your pension. And think about reducing your tax bill and just using, if you are on the higher rate of tax, it costs you 6 euros to put 10 euros into your pension. If you're on standard tax, it costs 8 euros to put 10 euros into your pension. Now, if I said to you, Claire, you could go off down into Donnybrook, find a bookies and stick 6 euros down and they'll give you 10 euros back straight away. Mm-hmm. You do it. But when we add the word pension in there, people get, oh God. So that person's priority. And when you're tipping on that age of in kind of late or tipping into the later part of your career, it really becomes priority because the access thing is no longer an issue.
Okay. My husband and I have two lump sums. They're not huge. I'm retired. Should we invest together or put it into the pension?
into his pension, and man, she's retired. Into, yeah.
Yes.
So she's retired. They have a lump sum, should be invested in. Again, maximise the pension contributions. People don't realise right now, and most of it, people who are self-employed know at this time of year it's tax return time, and their accountant might say to them, I'll throw a few quid into the pension and reduce it for last year. PAYE workers don't realise you can still put money into your pension for last year, for 2021 today. Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's another couple of weeks left in it before you have to do your tax return. PAYE workers should be doing a tax return because on average, depending on what research you look at, they'll get between 800 and 1200 euros back. In a tax refund.
So it's
when
worth
they do
doing it.
It's worth doing it. But you can put money into your pension. Again, using my 6 euros into 10, if you're on the higher rate of tax and you put 1,000 euros into pension and you're a PAYE worker, you're going to have 400 euros reduction in last year's tax. And PAYE workers have probably paid last year's tax mm-hmm. already. So they're just going to get a rebate of 400 euros.
We always get this question, but I'm going to get you to answer it again. Should I give up my tracker mortgage to go for a fixed rate?
In very simple terms, if you are losing sleep over your tracker mortgage going up and up and up, back to what I said a minute ago, sleep trumps money. Get the sleep and just get rid of the tracker if you're losing. If you can weather this storm and you have a decent length of time left on that tracker mortgage, I do believe on the other side of it, you are now hooked to the decisions made by the European Central Bank and not your local bank. And I'd much prefer them to be making the decision about where my mortgage repayments
are. So stick with the tracker if you can afford to do so. All right, we'll take a break. Owen, thanks very much for coming in. Owen McGee there.
Today with Clare Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.